Remaker's Mark, Episode 48, Reign of Fire. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in our 48th episode, where we'll be discussing the post-apocalyptic dragon thriller, Reign of Fire. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight? And, apropos of nothing, completely devoid of context, Puff the Magic Dragon, Double Dragon, or Ivan Drago?
Super great. And Puff Drago.
Puff Drago. Interesting. I don't want to think about what led to that, but I like your answer. Jeremy Nilsson, how are you tonight? And what about you? Puff, Double Dragon, or Drago?
I am very well. And because at the time of this recording, 2 days ago was 420, I will go with Puff the Magic Dragon.
Hey, good choice. I like your reasoning behind that.
Apropos of something.
Apropos of snacks. Lee Huffenpuff, how are you this evening? What about you? Puff the Magic Dragon, Double Dragon, or Ivan Drago?
I'm great, and I will say Double Dragon because I once finished a game by myself on one quarter.
Dang. Whoa. Wow. Look at you. That was a tough game, too.
Yep. How has this never been brought up until now?
Seriously, I see you in a whole new light now.
Can it be called Double Dragon, though, if it was just you?
You could play single player or double player, and there was nobody around, so I just played it myself.
I insist that you call it Single Dragon.
I think we have to have an asterisk by this claim of champion.
The loneliest dragon.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Mark Josting, how are you, and what about you? Puff, Double, Ivan.
Puff, Double, Ivan? I like that just by itself. So that's my
Sounds
answer.
Like a
Puff,
delicious
Double,
snack.
Ivan.
Nice.
And that it's a creamy pastry dessert is what that is.
Mm. I'm hungry.
Or at least it is
I'm
now.
I'm in. Good choice. My name is Kyle Delahunt. I will be your host once again this fine evening. And I'm going to go with Puff the Magic Dragon just because I listened to a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary growing up. And they're great. And I think that song is great. Although I do love the game Double Dragon a lot. Even though I was a Sega guy, not a Nintendo guy, I still really like Double Dragon. Shinobi was no Double Dragon, for sure. Though I did like Shinobi.
That's a great game.
Yeah. So, before we dive into our discussion of Reign and Fire, Reign in Fire? How about Reign of Fire? Let's discuss the right movie. Jer, do you have a Remaker's Mark recommendation for us?
I do. I recently, my fiance Alyssa got me turned onto it, we binged watch a TV show that is currently on Netflix called The OA.
Oh, nice.
And nice. It is a mind-boggling experience to watch the two seasons that are out currently. I don't even want to describe much of it because it would give it something away. Basically, the main character and also the creator of the show, Britt Marling, is a girl that shows up after having been missing for 7 years. And when she went missing, she was blind, and now she can see. And it's sort of her telling this random group of people her story, and it's unreal. And then the second season just flips everything upside down again, and the way the second season ends makes the third season just it's going to be I can't even describe it. It is a binge worthy. Weekend worth of great mind tossery entertainment.
Hell yeah. I'm loving it. I haven't finished the second season yet, but Jer, I'm going to say a sentence out loud that you will understand and people who have watched it will understand, but no one else will. So here's the sentence, ready? With regards to season two, I totally called the octopus a whole episode ahead.
What?
I did. I said out loud. That's it. That's what I said. All right, so there, that completely context-free statement will mean something.
Send me a message before you start the final episode because I want to relive it with you.
Okay, right on. You got it. Deal.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out because I think Britt Marling's amazing.
She is phenomenal, and it has turned me on to her as a person as well. And she just is an incredibly interesting, thoughtful, her ideas and her views of the universe is just they're extraordinary.
Do you remember that episode of Community that she was in?
Vaguely. And when I was looking back at her history, I saw that she was on there, and I vaguely remember it, but not well.
Check it out again. It's season two.
Okay.
Kyle, I'm going to name a song. I totally called The Octopus an episode ahead.
Good. I can't wait to hear it. I'm intrigued as I'll get out. Excellent. Good choice, Chair. I'm 100% behind you on that one. All right, so now moving on to Reign of Fire. Andy, will you please give us a summary of the film for those of us that haven't seen it, or just to refresh those of us that had, and then our history with it, please?
I would love to. Reign of Fire was released in 2002 and starred Matthew McConaughey, Christian Bale, Isabella Skorupko, is that how you pronounce that?
Sure.
And a pre-300 Gerard Butler. Directed by Rob Bowman, or Bauman, not sure how that's pronounced either, whose directing credits feature myriad and sundry television shows, including The X-Files, Star Trek The Next Generation, Castle, and Parker Lewis Can't Lose, as well as the X-Files movie. The film tells the story of a world where dragons have been awakened, first from a London underground construction site, and then apparently all over the world, slaughtering millions and forcing the remaining humans to cower together in abandoned castles or something. Quinn, played by Christian Bale, leads one such group. After some establishing dialogue to set the tension, a group of American mercenaries led by Denton Van Zant, played by Matthew McConaughey, shows up on the doorstep and kicks dirt in the face of the 98-pound British weaklings. Hilarity ensues. This was Jer's pick. I had seen this movie before. It had been a long time. And then my interest was piqued when Jer put this thing on a pedestal and knelt down at the feet of the altar of Reign of Fire and talked about how wonderful this was. So I was intrigued.
Think he did.
And here we are now. So Jer.
Yes.
I think it's time for your sermon.
Well, I will just simply say that this movie is at Sahara levels of guilty pleasure for me.
Whoa. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
And
I know what that means, Jer.
It is definitely coincidental, I hope to God, that Matthew McConaughey is in both of those movies.
That's no coincidence.
But I remember seeing this movie originally. I have seen it numerous times since. Very recently, I gave it the... give it the once over with John Lee as we drunk tweeted it, a live screening of it. It's just one of those movies that is exactly what it is supposed to be. I would liken it to Pacific Rim. If you said, yeah. I want a movie that is about giant robots fighting giant monsters, that's the movie that you get. And it's neither better nor worse than exactly what you would imagine a movie about giant robots fighting giant monsters should be. This is a movie about dragons in the post-apocalyptic future fighting Matthew McConaughey, and it is exactly that, no more, no less. And I love it for it. It is better than it ought to be and worse than it should be.
That is an apt description.
This movie is what guilty pleasure would be if one was not guilty about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Prior to this episode and watching again for this episode, I think I'd already seen it 3-4 times.
Nice.
I too really enjoy this movie.
I'm glad we don't pick movies that suck. That's good.
Does anybody else? How many of the five of us had not seen it prior to this podcast?
I hadn't.
Okay.
I had, but I don't remember when, but I've definitely seen it.
Okay. And I'm sure that we'll get your opinions and thoughts, Lee, as a first time viewer as we go on.
I'm very excited to hear that.
All right. So thanks for that. Now, as usual, we are going to move on into the recasting portion of our discussion of the film. We have three major characters and five minor characters. The first major character is that of Alex. Mark, tell us about Alex.
Okie dokie. Originally played by Isabella Skorupko, Alex Jensen is an American soldier with a Polish accent. She is the tough helicopter pilot. She is the empathetic keeper of the dead. She is the approachable one. She is the token female. How all of these things mesh into a cohesive character is up for debate. there are a lot of things about this character that I think could be tweaked. I think what the director is probably going for is just that steely-eyed, icy blonde and blue that you get when you cast a Polish actress. I wanted to go for something that was maybe a little bit more realistic of a soldier. And I also wanted to preserve that pretend to be an American, but probably still have a European accent. And so I cast a Scottish actress by the name of Rose Leslie. You would know her from Game of Thrones, where she plays the fantastic Ygritte.
Nice.
You know nothing, large dragon.
She said dying.
Yes.
That's my pick, Rose Leslie. In Game of Thrones, you know, she is super tough. She is the warrior woman. Pretty much like the archetype of a warrior woman in that series, at least. I mean, there are some others, but Ygritte is the wildling, which probably says enough right there. I like keeping that same sort of atmosphere for Alex Jensen, just maybe a little bit more disciplined.
Dig it. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I have similar scruples with the character that I'll go into here shortly, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so that's my pick, Rose Leslie, for the character of Alex Jensen.
She's so lovely.
She's so high above me.
Good choice.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mark.
How about you?
Thanks for asking. One of the kind of comments that I mentioned in my notes about the movie was that Alex goes from like zero to not hookup, but zero to like, hey, you real quick in this movie with Christian Bale's character with Quinn. And I didn't feel like it was entirely earned. I mean, admittedly, you know, I guess when you see a helicopter pilot take down a dragon, you're probably a little bit like, well met. But still, at the same time, I felt like it needed either more time for them, or the place that I decided to go with was more mystery. So I wanted this person to be the kind of person that you're like, I don't get it, but I want to get it. So I'm going to try to get it. Right. So it's kind of the person that you don't know what's happening, but you can't look away kind of thing. So for that role, tying back to Jer's point earlier, I went with Britt Marling for this from the OA. nice. I think that she can be very serious. I think she can be very daunting. She's also just mysterious as all get out. And I think can play that really well in a way where I think the empathetic keeper of the dead, I think that's a good call. And so I feel like you could really kind of lean into that a little bit in terms of the, how much she watches over the people and sort of more of a kind of mysterious mystical thing without getting too, you know, over the top mystical. But yeah, that's what I wanted. Britt Marling for Alex.
I like it.
Thank you. Me too.
Seeing her in a role as a military person would be an interesting change from the other things I've seen, but she definitely has sort of that steely exterior that could pull it off.
Yeah. You know, throw a flight suit on somebody and they're a pilot. Boom.
There you go. There you go. It's movies. Boom.
It's true. It's movies. You got it. Andy, on to you. Who is your Alex?
I'm twisting the casting and plot of this movie, well, a lot, taking a cue from one of the elements of the plot of the movie. That being said, I chose for my Alex Jensen, Maisie Williams.
Hmm.
Ooh.
It's more Game of Thrones.
More Game of Thrones. Not intended, but she is mostly known for playing Arya Stark, among other things. I think her role as Arya Stark and the character and how that character develops lends some credibility to her. Dang it! I can't say that without saying ability after that. lends some credence to her ability to play an action star, if you want to call a helicopter pilot an action star.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't want there to be I'm taking out the stupid little romantic element between Quinn and Alex in my version of this movie. So
okay,
Maisie Williams is my choice for that. Jer, your turn.
I wanted this role to be a little bit more military than the Van Zandt role and give this person more of the expertise and military savvy, and then have the Van Zandt role be more of a general, a leader of the troops. And this is sort of the specialist whatnot. So I wanted somebody that could, that could pull that off, have that commanding presence. But, and I don't know that this movie needs a romantic tie at all. But all that being said, I went with, cause I like going A-list. I went with Zoe Saldana.
Oh, ooh, nice.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have to be green or anything. She could be like normal.
Can she be green?
She can be alive.
She could be green or blue or, I mean, how many different races has she played? Because she was in, well, okay. So you might know her from Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, or a little Steven Spielberg pet project known as Avatar.
James Cameron.
James Cameron. Ugh, I feel terrible. I just mixed those two up.
It's okay.
And many much more things.
Like the My Little Pony movie.
Like the My Little Pony movie.
Like Star Trek?
Yeah, Star Trek, yep. Good call.
Yeah, I really like her as an actress, and I think that she, again, like some of these other picks, has that really great steely exterior, but also has a lot of heart and emotion that can come out in the right moments. I think that this movie could really lend itself to having a little bit more of a post-apocalyptic heaviness to it. Not quite as heavy as, say, The Road, but something along the lines of the population's been decimated. This is sort of these last little bastions of people. It didn't feel like that often. It just felt like we're hiding and there's a ton of people somewhere else, but we're kind of stuck here. But the reality is that most people are gone. Giving a little bit more weight and emotion to that, I think would help. And I think somebody like Zoe Saldana could do that.
I would agree.
Which brings us to pick number 5, Lee.
Well, I agree with Mark that this character could benefit from a little bit of a rewrite. Namely, I would like her to have a little bit more to do and have someone with, solid, like action movie credentials, someone who has a very commanding presence, but is also very sympathetic. So I went with Emily Blunt, thinking back on movies like Edge of Tomorrow, Sicario. That a role like this is, I think it's almost tailor-made for her.
Yeah, she is a pretty underrated action star, now that you say that out loud. I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
She also played the main villain in the My Little Pony movie.
It all comes back. Wow. Little did we know what tie-ins we would bring today.
Here we thought we were all going to be picking Game of Thrones characters, but oddly enough, what we're actually doing is going back to the My Little Pony well again.
It's sort of a mashup, Game mm-hmm. of Ponies. Nice. All right, so for the role of Alex Jensen, originally played by Isabella Skoripko, Mark went with Rose Leslie, I went with Britt Marling, Andy went with Maisie Williams, Lee went with Emily Blunt, and Jer went with Zoe Saldana. Up next is the role of Denton. Jer, tell us about Denton.
Oh my gosh. Denton Van Zandt is basically what you would get if you took every Marine and Army Ranger movie trope, gave it some tribal tattoos and a contract writer that said it was allowed to take its shirt off 40% of the filming, and then put it in a blender with two parts McConaughey crazy. Serve with a lime wedge.
I'd order that.
Yeah.
Yes. Van Zandt is the leader of the American military troop that shows up at the castle with a tank and a helicopter and a plan to kill dragons. And so much exposition. And this role in particular was played by Matthew McConaughey in a way that only Matthew McConaughey could have played it. And I don't know if that was his choice, the director's choice, or just, oh, shoot, we hired Matthew McConaughey. I guess we're just going to get what we get. But holy
moly. Oh, crap, who hired McConaughey?
Right. I actually read a quick little interview from one of the secondary characters that basically said that they were approached by one of the producers or whatever that said, okay, Matthew McConaughey is going to be coming on set tomorrow. He has asked that everybody refer to him as Denton Van Zandt or Van Zandt from here on until the end of filming. If you see him in his trailer, if you see him at Starbucks grabbing coffee, if you see him, you know, wherever, filming, not filming, he's Van Zandt now. And I just think that that's the most Matthew McConaughey story that I can come up with. But so I wanted somebody that was going to be a little less crazy, or maybe crazy in a little bit more normal way.
Differently crazy?
More crazy in a, okay, it's the post-apocalypse and there's dragons everywhere. I can understand why you feel this way, sort of crazy. But a little bit more reserved, and somebody that was going to be a military leader, but still throw down if they need to. And so I went with Tom Hardy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that'll do it.
There is definitely a little bit of Bane in Van Zandt. Like, not the voice, for sure. But the vest.
And honestly, that vest. Honestly, Tom Hardy is kind of he's a McConaughey for a new generation, I think. In some ways.
Okay.
But yeah, I think he's an extraordinary actor. I think he can play menacing and loud and brash, and he can also play quiet and emotional and whatnot. And I would love to see this character be a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more believable, I guess. A little less McConaughey.
Yeah. I admit I did come to enjoy it. Over time, at first,
it's
like,
awesome.
Oh,
it is great.
Oh no,
but I don't want Tom Hardy jumping off of a wherever the heck he is with an axe, thinking that that was a good plan. after his crossbow bolt bounced off of the dragon, but anyway, that's a different story for later. Tom Hardy is my choice. Andy Wicks, whom is yours?
I'm calling an audible right now.
Ooh,
yeah! I haven't had an audible in a while. Again, in my remake of this movie, I'm changing the dynamics of a lot of the characters, and I'm making some of them older, including Denton Van Zandt. Is it Van Zandt or Van Zandt?
It's Van Zandt, but it sure sounds like Van Zandt when they say it.
Yeah. Anyway,
fantastic.
Denton Fantastic. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. I'm going to go with Mark Strong for this one.
Ooh, I like that. I was considering him.
Interesting.
I like as a Mark Strong.
So much better than Mark Week.
Yeah. Really way better than Mark Week. That first of all, the man is just like, he is just built to be a tough sort of evil character. He looks great when he's bald, kind of carved out of marble. Perfect. I like the crazy element of this character. I want to make this character a little more driven mad and therefore slightly more evil in my version of it. I think the read that I took from this character in the original was, at first he just kind of comes across as an a-hole. And then you hear, he gives a little exposition on his backstory. They're like, okay, all right, I get it. But then he just kind of rubs it in the face of everyone else and has this kind of power trip thing going on. And it kind of waffles back and forth. And I really want this character to be, I want him to lean into that a little bit more. Less of the waffling.
Just totally unhinged?
I still like that there's maybe a history of maybe his qualifications. And I also like that Mark Strong is a little bit older than what McConaughey was in this movie, because I want him to be a military leader, you know, someone who is leading a large company of troops, things like that. So, but I also want him, yeah, to be maybe, you know, a little bit of, you know, the general in Apocalypse Now kind of a thing, maybe. So that's where I'm going with Mark Strong. Best pick ever. Lee, who is your Denton Fantastic?
What I liked about this character was how intimidating he was, I guess. And I wanted someone who has a very intimidating presence, and someone who's maybe more so than, you know, Matthew McConaughey. Not that there was anything wrong with Matthew McConaughey's performance, but I felt like I could find someone who is actually better suited for the role. So I went with Jason Momoa, people will know as Aquaman. But he's like, you know, you just kind of stare at him and it's intimidating. You know, you don't quite know what he's going to do or say. He's fairly soft spoken, until he starts yelling. I think he's got a great presence, and I would totally believe it if he said he has killed dragons. So that's why I picked him.
Nice. Can't get better reasons than that.
Yeah. But let's move on to Kyle.
Cool. So for pretty much all the reasons that you guys mentioned here, you know, I wanted somebody that was, you know, going back to your pick, Lee, Jason Momoa, I feel like I wouldn't be looking for, like, where the zipper is in the ripped muscle suit that he has on, kind of like I did a little bit with McConaughey. I was like, is that like a comic book Halloween costume thing? Like, it's really buff, but no, it was him. But still, I didn't necessarily want to go quite that far. I wanted it to be maybe a little bit more realistic. The hard thing with him is you need to balance, like, the crazy menacingness-osity with a little bit of charisma, because you can't just be crazy and have people follow you. You have to be charismatic at the same time. So I wanted somebody to balance that really well. And I chose Winston Duke for that. You would know Winston Duke from Black Panther. He played M'Baku, who was the lead of the tribe who is up in the mountains. He was surprisingly funny in that. You know, he's the first, he challenges Black Panther and loses to him at the start, and then gets kind of, you know, banished away again. But then they come to him in their time of need, and he's really funny. Which I thought was really interesting. So you can have this, like, super intense guy that you're completely scared of, and then to make you laugh at the same time. And he is also the dad in Us, and another character in Us, which is a whole thing with the movie. But damn, if you haven't seen Us, you should go see it. But he was great in that too, where he's a little bit less imposing of a physical presence as the dad, but as the other side of the character that he plays, boy howdy is he scary. So he can definitely do both. He can be, like, really charismatic and really freaky at the same time. So that's really what I wanted, is to balance those two. And I think he could do a good job.
I almost picked him.
All right,
that's a great pick. That's a great pick.
Thank you. All right, Mark, on to you.
Well, I'm gonna do a thing that I don't usually do, and I'm gonna call an audible for mine as well.
Ooh, two Woo-hoo. Audibles.
Yeah,
let's do it.
So my original pick was somebody who is very physically intimidating, right? And you know, he's 6'4", 250, and there's two of them. But I decided to go opposite of that, and because I really want this character to be intimidating because he's unhinged, right? You know, we said a little bit of that before, and that's the line that I want to take. And so I'm going with somebody that has, like, a boatload of charisma and already has the body for this, but he's just a little bit smaller, and that's Zac Efron.
Ooh, interesting. <Yeah. laughs>
I do think he's an underrated actor, but he also is, you know, he's kind of done, like, fluffy sort of stuff for the, you know, the bulk of his career. And I think he's done a couple of projects that are a little bit darker, but are just, you know, under the radar. I would love him to do something that's, I'll go back to that word, unhinged, because I think that's exactly what I want.
Mark, can I tell you who popped in my head when you were describing this person?
Nope.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Ken Jeong. That's who popped into my head as the smaller, unhinged character.
Like, that would have been amazing.
Who better
I
want to
know
Ken
who
Jeong?
The first character was.
We're going to keep that in our pockets for a different movie. My original pick was Armie Hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. I think you chose wisely. I think that's a good audible. I like Armie, but I'm intrigued by Zach. Have you seen any of the trailers? He plays Ted Bundy in an upcoming Ted Bundy movie, and he is scary. Like that,
yeah,
that too
I
handsome
saw that was happening.
While terrifying at the same time. Yeah, real good.
Yeah, and that's the thing that intrigues me about him is, you know, that potential to, because he's, you know, a good enough actor, just that potential to go real dark and have it be real interesting. And I think, yeah, that's what I want here too.
Yeah, dig it. All right, so for Denton Van Zandt, originally played by Matthew McConaughey, JR went with Tom Hardy, Andy went with Mark Strong, Lee went with Jason Momoa, I went with Winston Duke, and Mark went with Zac Efron. Now, finally, our last major character of Quinn. Lee, tell us about Quinn.
Quinn is the leader of this small community of survivors. He's tasked with the security of the compound as well as all defense initiatives. Reluctantly, he joins the group of outsiders to eliminate the dragon population at its source, most likely so he can go on performing stage productions of The Empire Strikes Back for the children.
Aw, that part was so great.
I love that.
Yeah,
that was a great scene.
They're like, did you write that? Yes.
Yes.
You know, this is Christian Bale at his Christian Bailiness. you know, I like the character. He's sort of this, he's burdened with leadership, and you can tell that he feels burdened by it. But he does it as an act of survival. And I wanted someone who could have that, sort of, I guess, who plays that well, like sort of the reluctant hero. So I chose Henry Cavill.
Hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, he is also British, so no problem there. but yeah, I think his work as Superman, the way he plays him, like everyone who's played Superman plays him a very different way. And Henry Cavill's Superman is the reluctant hero. And that's kind of what I saw in Quinn. So I thought it was a natural choice.
Yeah, that's a good description. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd have a hard time seeing him that dirty, but, you know, he's going to get there. So that's just what it is.
Yep.
He's just so dang pretty.
I think they could dirty him up a bit.
Yeah.
but on to Mark.
Unlike my last pick, I'm going with a perennial favorite of mine. Like he's usually in the running when I'm casting a male for any character, because he's just that good of an actor. And for a role that's less expressive than a lot of other roles could be, I knew I needed somebody that's a top-notch actor. So I'm going with Nicholas Holt.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and we know him from so many things, but Fury Road, the recent Mad Max movie, is probably the big one. He was the warm body in Warm Bodies. He is Dr. Hank, the Beast, in the recent X-Men movies. God, what else? There's so much stuff. But he's great. He's an excellent actor. And I really wanted this performance of this character to be super nuanced. And I think he can do it. So that's why I picked him. Nicholas Holt, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies especially.
Nice. I like it. I like your call out of Warm Bodies, too. That movie is so great.
Thanks. I would agree, but I haven't actually seen it.
Oh, it's good. You should totally
see
it.
Yeah, I know. It's that movie would be right up my alley, and I just haven't gotten to it.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle? Yes. Who's your Quinn?
Yeah, I wanted to mix it up a little bit. I wanted Quinn to be a natural leader, which I think Christian Bale was, although I think a somewhat hesitant one, but he just took that role and ran with it. And I wanted just to mix it up enough, so I went with Noomi Rapace? I can't remember which.
Ooh.
I think she's pretty badass.
Rapace.
Yes. No, Rapace. I think she's pretty badass. I think she can definitely be a leader. I think she can be a caretaker, because I think it's interesting how much of a caretaker he is for the group as well, with, you know, leading the prayers and, you know, trying to comfort the kids at the same time. So it's interesting that it's both sides of that character present in the original performance, and I think she would do that really well. The only thing that I, you know, thought about, like, how would a scene play out, was the scene where Christian Bale, like, goes after Denton. But I could see her being, like, fast, you know what I mean? Like, really fast and really wily, and really sneaky, and, you know, just basically like almost getting the best of him, not just by brute force, but by, you know, trying to get the best of him in ways that worked with her. And I don't know that she would win the fight, because he doesn't in the movie, but I thought that was the only thing that would feel like that change of character from male to female would be different, but I think it could still work. So I'm like very content with that and very happy with that. So yeah, I think she's really great. She's an incredible actress. She's a real good physical presence, a strong physical presence. And yeah, I think she would totally own that.
I like nice. That pick.
Thank
I
you.
Do I, too.
Thank you very
I
much.
I really enjoy her in the dragon tattoo series, or whatever that series is called.
Yeah. Yep. Lisbeth Salander. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes,
good. There's a Netflix film that just came out this year, called Close, where she plays basically a bodyguard, and I think she does something very, very similar to what you're looking for, Kyle.
Cool.
And I gotta say, she does it really well.
Nice. So, all right. I think I've seen the little icon on the screen, but I haven't added it to my list yet. I will do so.
Excellent.
Excellent. Speaking of excellent, Jer. Who was your Quinn?
My Quinn, I wanted somebody a slight bit older than Christian Bale. I wanted maybe they were a little bit older when the dragon was first released by their mother or whatever. But I wanted somebody that felt a little bit more world weary, but also had that charisma and leadership that would be natural enough that the people in this castle would listen to them when they had ideas, when they had plans and whatnot. And I also wanted somebody that was, when it all came down to it, was going to be kind of forced into badassery at the end. So I drank deep from a well that I enjoy, and that is the ever effervescent Mads Mikkelsen.
Nice.
It's been a while.
It has been a very long while. Like, I've been waiting for the perfect moment, and I think this is it.
I feel like as Mads' career has kind of grown, your picking of him has sort of waned. But I think the time is right. I think so.
Yeah, you would know him most recently from a few different things. He was the villain in Doctor Strange. He was the main character's father in Rogue One. Very recently, he is in an Amazon or a Netflix original called Polar,
based
on a comic book. Holy crap, is that good?
Cool.
Go see that. It's very gory. It's about a assassin, and it's just really good. He also was in a movie recently called Polar. That's a really quiet.
You just described that movie twice.
Well done, movie.
He's done two right now. Polar is the wintry one. What's the other one?
As opposed to Arctic?
Isn't there one called Arctic?
Yeah. So no, Polar is the assassin one. Arctic is the wintry one. Yes, 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 yes.
Yep. Arctic is is a very quiet. He's basically the only character in it, and he almost doesn't even talk. It's really exceptional. And then Polar is just a grueling, grisly comic book based assassin movie.
I can't wait to see his next one called really Cold.
He's gonna have another one where he's in the Arctic with
Polar Bear.
No, with who?
Inuit.
What's, Never mind. The joke's over.
Snowmobile.
Snowmobile. Kevlar. No. Anyway, that's my pick, Mads Mikkelsen. I love him. He is the right amount of just beat up and wants this all to end. And you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go kill the dragon that I want to see in this movie. And that's me. Andy Wicks, go ahead.
Coincidentally, Jer, I chose Meryl Streep to play the dragon.
A battle for the ages.
Oh, man. Jerry, you and I are thinking along similar lines because I also wanted Quinn to be older, weary. Not to say that the original portrayal of Quinn wasn't weary, but definitely someone not as young as Christian Bale was. And I also I really wanted to turn a lot of things around in the casting of this that I'll get to in, maybe with my minor pick. I'll kind of reveal my scheme. I chose Michelle Yeoh for this role. I also wanted someone who could be seen maybe as more of a parental figure for the group. I could kind of see Mads Mikkelsen doing the similar in kind of a fatherly role. I want Michelle Yeoh to be this very maternal person who is very caring. But at the same time, Michelle Yeoh is all kinds of full of kick ass. And I want that to reveal itself slowly. And I'm honestly not sure if I want her to be as martial arts awesome as she has been in the past. I'm not opposed to it. And the idea of her fighting a dragon with martial arts kind of appeals to me. I'm not going to lie. But I'm not saying it has to happen that way.
You want her to karate chop a dragon?
I mean, are you saying she can't?
McConaughey had an axe.
Are you
Why
saying
not?
She can't do it? Have you seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
This dragon is far from hidden.
Okay. So Michelle Yeoh. And I want the relationship in my remake between Quinn and Alex, rather than being this weird forced romance kind of a thing, to be more of a maybe a mother-daughter kind of a relationship where Michelle Yeoh kind of takes on Alex under her wing in a way. So that's kind of the angle that I was playing on that a little bit. So Michelle Yeoh.
Nice. Intrigued. I like your reasoning.
And just a little side note on Michelle Yeoh. So in addition to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, she has been in many things. Right now she is in the Star Trek Discovery series, which I haven't seen, but I've heard a lot of good things about. And she is in post or pre-production for Avatars 2 through 5.
Wow.
On IMDb.
Yeah, I totally forgot that they are filming all of those at the same time.
Yeah. So there you are.
Can't wait for Avatar 2 to make $6 million and then be like, uh-oh. Oh, no.
What are we going to do?
Straight to video. James Cameron, straight to video. All right. So for our last major character, Quinn, Lee went with Henry Cavill. Oh, sorry. Quinn, originally played by Christian Bale, of course. Lee went with Henry Cavill. Mark went with Nicholas Holt. I went with Noomi Rapace. Jer went with Mads Mikkelsen. Andy went with Michelle Yeoh. So finally, we're down to our minor characters here, the first of which is Creedy. Creedy is a good pal to Quinn, like the best kind of good pal, the kind of good pal that shares laughs, hearty hugs, and goes into flaming hallways instead of you, oh crap, this isn't going to end well, is it? So Creedy was originally played by Gerard Butler in a surprisingly charismatic, light, sweet, funny performance. I didn't know that Gerard Butler had that in him.
Yeah, totally.
I thought that was a very pleasant surprise in this film. Essentially, I really had no idea who to pick for this. I didn't have any grand inspiration. I pretty much wanted somebody Scottish, and so I did a Google search for Scottish actors, and I landed on Billy Boyd. I thought it would be kind of fun for him to be, very Scottish, very, very thick accent, so almost you can't understand him, much like Gerard Butler in the original. However, I feel like if he was a little bit less tough and a little bit more like, aw shucks, I feel like that tragedy could even hit a little bit harder. It would almost be a blend of that kid that kind of goes off but then comes back and Creedy. You know what I mean? Like if it was kind of sort of a little of both of those, it would be my version of Creedy with Billy Boyd. But I think he'd like him. Billy Boyd, you know him from the Lord of the Rings movies. He was Pippin. So, yeah, I think he'd be great. And boy, howdy, would he be Scottish, which was my biggest criteria. So,
wow. Billy Boyd is 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
He drinks from the Bladel Fountain of Youth.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yep.
I feel like 300 sort of ruined Gerard Butler's career and made him into an action star when he was doing roles like this beforehand, where he actually had a little bit of like a, yeah, he's a pal. He's a good guy.
A little lightness to it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He did this one. Yeah. He did that one about time travel, whatever that one was called.
The Time Machine.
Where the timeline where the archaeology students went back to medieval England or whatever. And a few other ones. But yeah, I feel like his career went the wrong way.
Got it. Duly noted.
I think he took his bodybuilding tips for 300 from this movie.
Yeah. He went on the McConaughey diet, sadly. Up next is Jared. Jared, tell us about Jared.
Jared is the surrogate son of Quinn and embodiment of why Quinn is so desperate to want to protect everyone. Eventually, he's given the reins of the castle and presumably the lead in a sequel that we'll never see. Basically, Quinn is sort of the next generation in the movie. He's played fine by whoever the actor is. I don't know if I didn't look much if Scott Mutter has done much after this. But Jared is basically just sort of the next generation of Quinn and kind of the idea of the future of humanity in the role. So I wanted somebody that kind of had a little bit of, like you said, Kyle, kind of that aw shucks innocence, but yet had enough charisma that you could see Quinn sort of bestowing that you're the leader now kind of idea to him. So I went with to go back to the My Little Pony well, I went with Daniel Portman, who has played Podrick Payne in the My Little Pony movies. I mean, Game of Thrones movies.
That's Podrick, you said?
That's Podrick Payne.
Oh, yeah, right on. Okay. That's a good call.
And
we've cast him recently, haven't we?
We may have. He hasn't done much besides Game of Thrones. But holy cow, has he really come into his own, especially in the most recent season and the current season. He just is such an outstanding character. And last night was the season 8, episode 3?
2.
No, episode 2?
Yep.
I don't know when this is going to get released, but we just saw episode 2. And he sang a song at the end of it, which just gave me chills.
Very akin to Billy Boyd, actually, now that I think about it.
Very akin to Billy Boyd.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
So that is my pick, Daniel Portman.
Good choice. I like Podrick.
I do, too. And next, we're going to talk about Eddie and Andy.
Just Eddie, really. Eddie, originally played by David Kennedy, is a tortured soul. He's lost a wife and kids to the dragons already, and he's not about to sit around and lose the rest. And yet, Eddie is reckless with his remaining family. I think Eddie just wanted to be in charge this whole time. I chose for the role of Eddie, Brie Larson.
So do tell your whole grand machination here. What is your grand plan?
In the kind of crux moment of the film, when Isabella Skorupko, the woman who has a Texas accent for the first two sentences that she says and a Polish accent for the rest of them, talks about how they discovered that all of the dragons that they see are females and there is one male that is the one they have to take down. One male is really the bad guy. I wanted to make all of the characters in this movie except one female and the bad guy be male. So all of my characters save for Denton Fantastic, who in my opinion is the bad guy, are female. So I want Brie Larson, who has shown herself to be an action star, to be the person who is sick and tired of being under Michelle Yeoh's kind, caring, and very strong martial arts thumb. And wants to get out there and take care of her family and get those tomatoes before they're ripe, and then go to London or wherever they're going to be in my version of the remake, and then die.
Hmm.
Spoiler alert, Eddie dies.
True.
So,
interesting.
There you have it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's intriguing.
Thanks.
I'm not totally on board with it, but I think it's an interesting idea.
I do like Brie Larson.
I thought I would get Lee's vote.
She's fantastic.
I liked her long before Captain Marvel. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her basically bad guy in Scott Pilgrim versus the World is amazing.
Yeah.
She's so awesome in that.
Yeah. I kind of assume, Andy, that your All Lady Castle is going to be very similar to the situation in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's kind of how I'm visioning it in my head. Is that pretty spot on? Do you feel like that's a pretty accurate representation?
So there's a character named Loot.
Yep.
Isn't there a character named Loot?
It is now, Kyle.
Okay, very good. Excellent. I figured as much.
There is much peril.
Oh, they all need to be spanked very hard.
And me.
Oh, man. God. Sorry. Thank you for sullying my dream.
I sullied so good, you guys. You have no idea.
Oh, gross. Mark, tell us about AJ. AJI? AJ.
In just a second.
Oh, okay.
Ajay?
This is getting offensive on multiple levels.
He's such a powerful antioxidant. Ajay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I just had to catch my breath after that hard sully.
All this is not going to make it into the episode.
Oh, sure. Goodness,
it's all going to get cut.
The audience think there's only actually four members to the podcast. I'm never in it.
So, AJ, huh? Poor AJ. AJ is the ears of the castle, spending pretty much the entire movie dutifully monitoring the radio until finally being rewarded by monitoring a face full of dragon fire. There's not much else to say about him. I kind of wanted to provide more to say about him, and I wanted to do that by casting a really good actor. I picked Mikhail Houseman, whom you know from the My Little Pony movie where he plays Dario Naharis.
Really? He's Dario? And
he's Dario.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Nice.
He's also
Which one?
The better one, the second one.
Okay. Okay.
He was also in Nashville. He had a small part in Wild. He's done a bunch of stuff and he's typically very good. I think AJ can be a more interesting character, and I think Mikhail Houseman can do it. So that's my pick from the My Little Pony movie, Mikhail Houseman.
Nice, I like
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So many ponies.
So
all
many
of the ponies.
Reign of Fire is basically just a remake of My Little Pony, yeah,
pretty much.
Except dragons instead of ponies.
Yeah. How many ponies?
Many.
Many much ponies.
Many all of the ponies. Ponies.
All right, everypony. Lee, it's your turn.
Karen, originally played by Alice Krieg. Craig, I'm not
I
sure.
Think it's Krieg, yeah.
Krieg, yeah.
Krieg.
Yeah, there you go.
Karen, Quinn's mom, has the misfortune of uncovering the existence of the dragons who will eventually take over the world. She manages to get Quinn to safety, but at the cost of her own life. She's only in one scene, but, you know, you have to believe that this is something that would haunt Quinn, that, you know, maybe it would inspire him to do what he does, meaning that she would have to be likable. So I picked Carrie Coon, who people will probably know. I believe she's in Fargo, mm-hmm. the TV series. Mm-hmm. She was in Gone Girl as Ben Affleck's twin sister, mm-hmm. Which she plays a very likable character. And she was Proxima Midnight in Infinity War, mm-hmm. which was a very unlikable character. She was fantastic in both. So, I really liked her for this role, and I think she'd be great in it.
Yeah, good call. I can't remember what I picked her for recently, but I just picked her for something. I think a fairly major character. Oh, I think it was Ratched. Maybe I picked Carrie Coon.
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, yep, sure she did. Was. Yep. A little trivia on Alice Krieg, however you say that. I was just looking her up. She was the Borg Queen on Star Trek First Contact.
Yeah, awesome. She was.
Yep, yep. That's range for you right there.
Also, seriously. She's currently in the OA.
Who is she in the OA?
She's Perry's mom.
Oh, no way. Look at that.
So
OA. Way.
Hot day. OA. Yes, way. Nice. All right, so that wraps it up for the major and minor characters, and with that, the first half of our discussion of Reign of Fire. Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you will find show notes with links to all the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes and Google Play, where you can rate and review Remakers Mark, which would mean the world to us. We're on both Facebook, search for Math is Hardnet or Remakers Mark, and Twitter, at Remakers Mark, and on Instagram, at Remakers Mark Podcast, so please join in the discussion there as well. So, gents, this is really fun, and until the next time where we recast Sean Connery over and over and over and over and over again, until that time, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.